This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Yes, of course it is. Tim and Johnny, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. 855-752-4842. Put that out there right away, Johnny Lupinacci, so people can get it in there, get that speed dial going. Johnny, you know, the other thing too is to remind people, hey, have you downloaded the Civic Media app, Johnny? You know, I know you and I have, but you know, how many people out there, you're sitting there going, man, what do I do when I can't get Busted Pencils on the radio? Huh, not a problem. Download the app.
Yeah, or just talk to your smart speaker or whatever that little box is that I say her name and then she starts playing all kinds of stuff or telling me the weather. You can also ask that smart speaker, right, to get to the Civic Media stuff and connect you with great programming all day long. But Tim, you know, I'm biased. Tune in for Busted Pencils every weekday, same time, same place.
My guy,
always here with me. Love it. You know where else we could always be, too? If we are in Madison, we could be at the Monaco Brewing Company.
Absolutely.
Those guys are big-time advocates for public education, and they're up in Monaco, too. So whether you're in Madison or Monaco, stop by. Always hardworking to build community and make great beer. They tell me, and I'm telling you because Kirk has told me this and I see it on the social media, they're the most sued brewery in America. Monaco Brewing Company is making Wisconsin great again, one beer at a time. Check out monacobrewingcompany.com to see where you can buy their progressive beer. And I could use a beer today, Tim. It's hot, it's summer, it's Wednesday,
really?
and the news broke.
Oh, yeah.
And the news broke, and I mean, I think this news is too near and dear to us, Tim. You and I both talk all the time about, you know, our struggles as educators, educated educators. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we talk a lot on the show. We talk a lot about politics, a lot about K-12 schools, a lot about this last show last night about higher education. That's college teachers, professors in college, how they continue to work to improve their teaching on top of being experts in their field. It was a great show last night. Tim, then the news broke. And we were lucky because we got a guy who can help us understand this news because, man, I was like, it's beautiful out. The sun is up. We had a great conversation with our guy, Jonathan Gerko, last night from the ACUE, man. And then, boom. Womp, womp, womp. Got the news headline. So without me teasing it anymore, Tim, let's let our listeners know what's going on.
Yeah, we have our special guest. He's been with us multiple times. Hey, just in case, too, he's also running for president of the United States. We want to put that out there. Alan Collins, founder and head of studentloanjustice.org. His organization has been leading the leading force advocating for the cancellation of all federally owned student loans and a return of bankruptcy protections to all student loans. Today, though, we're going to dive deep, Alan. The SAVE program, SAVE, which was helping people out.
Yeah, it was.
Part of it now, Johnny says, the news is breaking. Republican-led states that challenged the SAVE program got some good news because some forgiveness now is off the table. Some repayment relief is off the table. Alan Collins, welcome back to Busted Pencils. Help us make sense of this.
Well, it's great to be with you all under these unfortunate circumstances. So the SAVE plan was a revision of a revised income-driven repayment plan. This is a decades-long soap opera. So Joe Biden introduced this SAVE plan pretty recently as a result of all the public outcry that's been happening around student loans lately. The lending system is, by all rational metrics, pretty much failed at this point. Very few people are paying. It's just a disaster. So Biden introduced the SAVE plan, which cut some of the interest that accrues on the other income-driven repayment plans so that people's loan balances as they go through the program don't balloon and explode. It's pretty, you know, on balance, it was a pretty good thing in the universe of income-driven repayment plans. But harkening this harks in the shadow of the Supreme Court case that we saw pretty recently about student loan cancellation, which Biden also tried to do. The Republicans have turned the student loan issue into a political football. And so they were successful in defeating the really pretty lame cancellation plan that Biden had rolled out. And the Republicans were apparently encouraged by this. And so now they are suing Biden on this new flavor of income-driven repayment plan. And so far, they're successful. The plan where the interest would stop accruing, that was supposed to start happening July 1st. But here we are now, as of this week, that's all on hold. The two federal judges, Kansas and Missouri, have issued injunctions on the SAVE plan. So it's really the Wild West out there, guys. I wish I could tell you what the future holds if you happen to be enrolled in one of these programs. But
let me ask this question, Alan, though, too, and I'm just going to put it out there straight. I mean, really, this feels absolutely mean. Like absolutely mean and hurtful and harmful, intentionally out there. As you're just saying, you know what? Stopping the interest from accruing. It wasn't allowing, people are still paying, right? It was giving some real potential relief in some of the things that you've pointed out in the show many times of how people take out $12,000 in loans, pay back $20,000 in loans, and still owe another $30,000. How that reality can happen is because of what you just said. This, the way interest accrues on student loans, this was a tiny, tiny attempt to give it some justice, some student loan justice. And yet, really, these Republican attorney generals filed this lawsuit to stop, or to, let's not say to stop, to continue to perpetuate suffering.
That's exactly right. You know, and I'm a nonpartisan guy. I quite frankly am kind of done with both parties. The whole thing has just become one bunch of nonsense that guarantees the perpetuation of this predatory lending program. But the viciousness of the Republicans as this issue has become a political football is on full display for everyone to see. You know, and it's not just the current lawsuits. They've also introduced legislation to kill the SAVE plan legislatively. And it's pretty clear that the Republicans are fighting tooth and nail for this lending program. And as you point out, Tim, you know, even the relatively modest cancellations that we've seen over Biden's first 3.5 years, we've polled our members. We have millions of members. We polled many of them. So hopefully this is statistically relevant. But what we're finding is that even of the few people who are getting loan cancellation, the vast majority of them, 70%, already repaid amount that they borrowed. Many repaid far, far, far more than the amount they borrowed. So there's one example I could give. Vanjie in California, she borrowed $26,000. She repaid $92,000 on a $26,000 loan. Mm. Her loans were finally forgiven, but her balance at the end of it was still $132,000.
From an original $26,000.
An original $26,000 loan. So when we're talking about canceling student loan debt, guys, we're not talking about the taxpayers shoveling money from the Treasury to the student loan borrowers. We're talking about canceling interest and profit. You know, the government was never supposed to make a profit on these loans. When the program was created in 1965, President Lyndon Johnson said that the loans would be free of interest.
Right.
And today, I just did the calculation. Today, $174 million in interest is created out of thin air every single day.
Daily.
Every day, $174 million.
Johnny Lupinacci, hold that, man, right? Think a day, yes. And yet we hear this, Johnny, like jump in here. We hear how much pain those people who didn't go to college will have to suffer if student loans are forgiven. Johnny Lupinacci, what say you?
Well, I mean, Tim, I think that's always the myth that's out there, right? And I love that you brought it up, because I think for a listener, it's really important to dispel that myth. You know, like if we were to solve this problem promptly, swiftly, let's say we were to really take a close look. And as I thought we were kind of, I'm always hopeful. I think we're headed there all the time. I'm like, okay, it's looking good. It's looking like we can just solve this, you know, this massive debt that so many people are in, right? And get things fixed, get it right. So we don't just recreate it, right? We know we can do better. We know we can do it. But I often hear, well, that's not fair. Because, I'm working in some other industry, or I had my college paid for me, or I didn't have to take out, you know, federal loans. And then I say, okay, well, it's not fair because now I'm paying for somebody else who took that loan out, who hasn't paid back their education. Mm-hmm. So like, that's the thing I get into. So Alan, for our listener, can you help? Because Tim and I could say, well, that's just a myth. That's not true. I think you got the language around really helping us communicate that to our listener out there who's like, one, man, the Republicans are trying to stick it to you. Many of you are Republicans straddled with this debt, right? And or you might identify like Alan and I, like, hey, neither the Democrats or the Republicans seem to be like really in favor of these things that we call democracy. But in general, one, like, help us dispel this myth that it's like going to cost the hardworking people. You know, they're
so glad you asked. It's the number one myth out there everywhere. Every day I get hit by these really Muppets who've been programmed by the propaganda that proponents of this lending system have been just overwhelming the media, the zeitgeist with. Student loan cancellation is canceling interest. It's not an actual cost to the taxpayer. Unlike PPP loans, for example, not one dime has to be taken from the Treasury. Not one penny is added to the national debt. And on balance, the taxpayers are breaking about even. So you can't say that about any other lending program. Every nickel of federally owned student loan debts, 90% of all loans, could be canceled tomorrow. And as I said, the federal government would have made essentially all of its money back.
I think that's the point, too, is to point that out for somebody just going. It's like, so the amount of money that has been loaned out, actually, the amount of interest that has generated, there has been more money actually made over the time than, Alan, is what you're saying, than the actual loan that was given out. So there isn't anything to repay because it's been repaid over and over and over again by the interest generations. Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org, the number. Give us a call when you're ready for that. You know, if you're struggling with the SAVE plan, 855-752-4842. Get more back here with Alan, and let's bust this myth. More when we get back. It's endless. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Sherry from Horicon. Hey, guys. Hey, Sherry, what's happening? Appreciate that. You too can text in if you're on the Twitter, if you're on the Facebook or the X, if that's what you have to call it nowadays. You know, give us a note or give us a call, 855-752-4842. Right. Our guest, Alan Collins. Yeah, and Alan, he's running for president, too, of the United States. Just, you know, something minor. Head of studentloanjustice.org. Yesterday, Johnny's day was upset because a couple attorneys general who took some modest relief to the saving loan or the student loan disaster, just a little bit of relief that was allocated and some that was about to start here July 1st. No. Meanness, anger, hurt. Truly trying to harm people. Well, they were successful. Alan, we've been talking about this, and before the break, we're trying to say, help bust the myth of my neighbor who is absolutely convinced that if my son's student loans happen to be forgiven or canceled, that he's going to be stuck with the bill to pay off my son's student loan. Because And let's make this for the, you know, truly compassionate and understand, because that's what he's being told and he really believes that. And can you blame somebody who's saying, wait a minute, Slecker, I'm not on the hook for paying off your son's student loan. That's just not fair. I don't, when they say that, they're not wrong to say that's not fair, but we come back and go, but that's not what's happening. You won't pay a dime. How do we get that through to people that my neighbor who truly is just saying he doesn't want to be mean. He just doesn't want to be stuck with paying off student loans that he didn't take out.
Yeah, it's just a pervasive lie. It plays very well with an uneducated audience. It sounds good. It's politically, the Republicans just, it's red meat to them, apparently. But the fact of the matter is the people have paid. The government was never supposed to make a profit on student loans. Today, it makes $100 billion a year in profit. And so when loans are canceled, no money is drawn from the Treasury. The taxpayers don't have to come up with new money from the people to pay for that. It's essentially monopoly money. It's writing off interest. You know, I like to use the analogy of if you buy a $1 lottery ticket, right? You scratch it off. It didn't win the $1 million, but you won a buck back. You won a dollar. So, okay, you broke even. Can you now go when you file your taxes and write that lottery ticket off as a $1 million loss because you didn't win the million? No, you would go to prison for accounting fraud. That is exactly the propaganda that the people making money off of this loan scam are pushing into the zeitgeist. It's a bald-faced lie, easily disproven. But, you know, as I think Mark Twain said, the truth, it can't even get its pants on in the morning before a lie can make it halfway around the world. And that's exactly what's going on here, guys. It's propaganda. And people out there need to realize that by wagging their finger at student loan borrowers, what they're actually doing is fighting for the Department of Education, the colleges, which most conservatives don't like either of those two entities, and the most unconstitutional loan scam in U.S. history.
Well, and I think about it too, Alan. I love the way you put it, because for our listener out there thinking about this, and you know, if this is the first time you've heard this perspective where you're like, this is a bold-faced lie, you know, this isn't, it isn't taking money out of your pocket. I'll even put out there, you know, I've been in conversations with people that aha moment actually means, and the numbers are large, that we're talking about a lot of people who are straddled with student loan debt. And it's not like they're trying to get out of paying back, but like Alan, you pointed out, it's excess accrued interests. It's many times 4 or 5 times over the amount borrowed, you know, and imagine, say you have a $900 a month student loan payment. Imagine now, where's that? Like, if we got rid of like the student loan debt, if we just said, you know what, we're going to really rein this in, even cut that in half for people or eliminate it completely. Imagine where that money goes. It could go right into our local economies. And so if you, like, say you own a dealership, or you are, you know, restaurant owner, or you are the manager at the movie theater, you all of a sudden know that locally there is a surplus of money that is now available for, you know, exchange in the local market. And so it is actually not taking money out of your pocket, but potentially putting it into your pockets, because what you have is you have everybody who's straddled with this debt spread so thin that they're not, say, spending on extras, right? So they're not, so those entertainment industries and those different things aren't seeing the sustainability economically that we might like, say, in small business or in those kinds of ways. So to me, it's always like a logic thing too. It's like, hey, there are a number of ways to understand this. And I like Tim's too, where say like, hey man, it's just thinking about whether it's fair or not. Okay, that's an argument. Like, I love morals and ethics, and I like thinking that people, you know, want everyone to suffer less. But sometimes I give up on that. So I'm in the logics of an instrumental argument. You want your money. Here's where your money is tied up right now. You want that money freed up and flowing? Help us free it up. Because if that debt goes away, I know with certainty that the people who are straddled in that debt will be spending. There's an erasure of the middle class in this sense.
Yes. You know, I couldn't have said it better myself. I will only give you one or two examples. Let's look at the state of Missouri, shall we?
Mohila,
Andrew Bailey, Attorney General. He successfully stopped cancellation. State of Missouri, the people, first of all, the entire state budget of Missouri, that's a big number, it's $25 billion. Mm-hmm. The people of Missouri owe the Department of Education $31 billion. This is interest alone. This is $2 billion in interest being created out of thin air by the Department of Education every year and put on the backs of Missouri student loan borrowers. And essentially being sucked out of the state. I mean, think about that. And, you know, we could talk about Texas, $120 billion. That's $8 billion being sucked out of state and sent to the Department of Education every year. Now, most conservatives that I know, they're not big fans of the Department of Education. They want to close it down. They're not big fans of the college. But here we have this just asinine situation, just ridiculous situation where Joe Plumber and Pete the Plumber, Joe the janitor, they're all up in arms and wagging their finger at the borrower saying, you need to pay your loans. It's not the taxpayer. It's just, you know, I don't want to call people feeble-minded.
Then don't.
People, no, I shouldn't. And I won't. But people get sucked in by these very easy to digest messages.
It's a passionate issue. And as I said, people get a sense of fairness. And if that bone is tickled that they're being cheated, they're going to rebel. And that's what they hear. Alan Collins, our guest, studentloanjustice.org. Man, Mohila, student loan forgiveness, save program. Whole bunches of stuff going on. Busted Pencils. Give us a call when we get back, though. Ask your questions more. 855-752-4842. See you in a minute. We sing your songs for more. Memories constant, like opening the world. There it is. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. The number's 855-752-4842. Check us out on Facebook. Check us out on X and Twitter. Check us out. Hey, even people who are watching YouTube, you know, there it is. Our guest, Alan Collins, collinsforpresident.com. If you are watching, you can see, yes, he is running for president. And we will talk about that a little bit before we let Alan go. We are talking, though, just happened. Missouri AG, you know, we were talking about this. Two attorneys generals, Republicans, took some relief, literally sued to stop people from getting relief from the burden of debt. And they were successful. The SAVE program, which, as Alan was pointing out, helped some people by reducing some of the interest they were going to pay, cutting in half, potentially some people in half, how much they were going to have to pay a month. Johnny Lupinacci chimes in and going, well, geez, just think of that. If I had to pay half of what I was paying, that would mean the other half I'm going to put into my local economy, because that's what working hard people, hardworking people do.
Or anywhere, if we even talk about it in terms of, like, if we want to talk about, you know, stereotypically where the conservative party talks about, you know, sensible spending and fiscally conservative, you know, folks out there, you're not represented well by the Republican Party. But let's just talk about that in a sense. Or money I could invest into the market, or money that, like, not just me, but people who are straddled with that they can put into, you know, savings in different ways that are part of that economy. I mean, it's a money economy. It's immediately money that goes into that market, that builds the strength of everyday people. So it's also, I'm at this point too, I'm also like, man, this is really low hanging fruit for either party to get on board with and connect with a massive amount of voters. Cause we're not talking about, you know, that 10% out there who have student loan debt.
Alan.
Yeah, you know, 20% of all adults, over 50 million people either have student loans or signed on them. And 85%, this is a huge statistic you'll never hear anywhere else, at least not yet. 85% of all federal student loan borrowers were underwater on their loans before the pandemic. Today, 80% of all federal student loan borrowers are unable. They are not able to make payments on their student loans. Mm. So, and these people are not all Democrats. In fact, a majority of those 40 million distressed borrowers are either Republican or independent. That's true. People don't realize these are not blue-haired snowflakes we're talking about. This is an accurate cross-section of the voting base in this country. This is 20% of the Republican base. So while I'm not a partisan guy at all, I don't really don't like either party. I am politically aware, and I can tell you that the Democrats are playing the Republicans like a fiddle on this issue. Frankly, I don't see how Donald Trump can win in 2024. With the student loan baggage that he's carrying for his rich buddies who are exploiting the system.
Alan, because to me, what comes across on this one, as I said, as I started out the show, is that this just feels mean, ugly, nasty. I'm going to get you, darn it. And you are, you know, nothing about this feels justice driven. Like no justice was gained yesterday by the court kind of taking away some of the SAVE program. People aren't now, you know, it literally was from the standpoint of going, you out there, you were about to get a little bit of relief. Sorry, we don't want you to have any relief. Sorry. Too bad. And I'm sitting there going, it's just like, at what point does somebody go, you know, I mean, I like people to pay back their debts, but I hope the majority of people don't want to hurt other people and see other people in pain. At what point are we going to say, you know what, a little compassion, a little bit of, you know, understanding. And then the reality of this too, it won't cost you a dime, taxpayer. Sorry, it won't. So on top of that, you don't have to worry about you writing extra checks for monthly payments because your neighbor isn't paying their student loans. That won't happen. You get to maybe potentially enjoy the benefits of your neighbor having more money to put back into the economy. This is actually an issue that we could get together on. Is the way I'm starting to imagine it, Alan.
You're exactly right. There's no good reason that Republicans and Democrats, liberals, conservatives can't look at this thing together and see what I see, which is the fact that the federal government has made so much money on this thing. No conservative should be for the Department of Education profiting $100 billion a year. Everybody should be able to see just the interest alone that the Department of Education is sucking out of states like Texas, Florida, Missouri. The entire South is hurt the worst of all states. You know, it's not Massachusetts or Washington or California. No. The worst hurt states by student loan debt is the entire South, from Virginia to Florida, from Missouri down to Texas, and everything in between. The Republicans have chosen poorly to champion this issue. And you know, in 2015, Donald Trump, he's wise to this thing. Donald Trump said, why is the government making money on student loans? Why should student loans be a revenue source for the federal government? Donald Trump said that. And he did not wag his finger at the borrowers in the 2015-16 campaign. If he thinks he can now begin to join the Republicans, browbeat his own base included, and pull out states like Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania. These are all states that are just absolutely overwhelmed in student loan debt. Mm-hmm. North Carolina, I think Trump's going to have a very hard time with. I think Trump needs to go with his gut. I don't know that he will. But Donald Trump's no dummy. He knows the truth. It's just all the people around him who are making money from the scam seem to have completely co-opted him. So we'll see. Busted Hopefully pencils. My campaign.
Yeah, well, I'm going to say we're going to get to it. It's Busted Pencils, fully led at Education Talk, educated educators talking education. Our guest, Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org. Check them out. give us a call, though, 855-752-4842. Because, yeah, if you're looking at this and you're going, the save plan, I just thought about the save. Saving on a valuable education, that's the acronym. That was what was, you know, partially halted and put on pause. And more, you know, so we were talking about the people who were about to see their payments kind of cut in half. But the other part of this ruling, Alan, too, is that some of the people who were going to be eligible for forgiveness after paying, they're now, that part is going, no, that's officially kicked out. That's gone. No forgiveness. No soup for you.
You know, and it's the same thing that happened the last time. You know, people got letters saying, hey, you're going to get $10,000 or even $20,000 of your loans canceled through the Biden cancellation. And the Republicans step in. There could be no more visible example of the viciousness of these Republicans in the minds of these 40 million distressed, 55 million general student loan borrowers in the country. This is it's political malpractice, quite frankly. And I don't claim to understand it. No conservative that I know can give me a rational explanation for it. But there it is. It's political silly season here. Apparently, they think their base, which is never going to vote for a Democrat or RFK, they just love to feed them red meat. But I'm telling you, they are going to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory on this issue. I mean, truly, these are enough voters to swing even a semi-close election, 40 million voters.
Yeah, I think that's also helpful, Alan, to dispel a little bit. And you're close to this, the statistics and this, you know, this angle. So say I'm, you know, someone like me, I'm traditionally Democrat, not really happy with the party. But, you know, like, I'm like, come on, like, here we are mostly aligned with like my politics and my beliefs, not as far as I would like it, not as, you know, great in the human rights category, not as great in the education category, but certainly better represented in my political views than traditionally the Republican Party. I'm with you. Neither one seemed to check any boxes for me right now. But, you know, I'm thinking, I get those. I did. I was in the loan reconsolidation. I fall under that, you know, been paying since I had them. You know, they were undergraduate loans from like the late 90s. Yep. That, you know, it was like, okay, this should be no problem to pay back. But they have always been high interest rate. They've bounced around different places. I can't even begin to name the different lenders that they've had, you know, and there was a movement under this current administration. There was a movement to consolidate them to Mohila, to kind of get them into one place. There were lots of optimistic letters that I'd open in the mail that would say, you've been doing great. You're eligible, you know, for, like you said, 10,000 reduction. You're going to be eligible for these reductions. And then, bump, 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 you're not. And so, in part, if I'm one of those people out there, and I know there's more than myself, if I'm one of those people, I'm kind of pissed at the Democrats. Because and it's not going to swing me to Republican, but I'm further. So where is that coming from? And I know you mentioned it. You said, like, because of the Republicans, the that stuff has happened. Maybe just dispel that, like, shine some light on that experience that so many of us are having, where one minute we're like, this is optimistic. This seems like it's headed in the right direction. And then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, guess what? No.
Yeah. You know, and I hate to bash the Democrats. What you say is, I mean, the rhetoric, obviously, any student loan borrower who decides to vote for either of the two parties really should vote Democratic. But the fact of the matter is, both parties are complicit in this. You know, the Democrats had been promising since 2005, for example, to return bankruptcy protections to student loans. This is really the core of the entire student loan problem. Got to return bankruptcy protections. Most other things will sort themselves out when we get the leverage of bankruptcy return. So 2020, Biden gets elected and makes all these campaign promises about cancellation. The Democrats had a great bipartisan bankruptcy bill that they could have easily passed. And at the 11th hour, they chose not to. And then lo and behold, the Supreme Court rules against Biden. And, you know, if you read between the lines and you see people like Nancy Pelosi and Susan Rice, they never wanted that cancellation effort of Biden to win. They wanted it to fail. the Department of Education. They have no desire or intentions of canceling any student loans if they don't have to. You know, they run their loan program to make money. That's what they do. It's like a business. Mm. And so you're not wrong, Johnny. In fact, the duplicity or the insincerity of the Democrats is precisely why I decided to run for president.
Hey,
I think a lot of people out there, particularly conservatives, but also some Democrats, they see the writing on the wall. They see this is kind of a uniparty thing. This is a good cop, bad cop routine. You know, Biden is kind of faking it. The Republicans are just evil. So I put myself out there because honestly, I couldn't see any other good way to compel one or both parties to actually get off their ass, acknowledge this lending scam for what it is and make some real changes and hopefully before the election.
Awesome. Well, Alan, that's great. Can you, for our listener, so you get this, we got Alan here. He stepped up. He's just taking his, you know, civic duty to the next level. But Alan, talk to us a little bit. Tell our listener where they can find more about student loan forgiveness, but also about, you know, you stepping in and saying, by golly, let's go. I'm running for president.
Yeah, the first thing I would say is to everybody, go to change.org/cancel student loans. This is the petition that ignited the entire student loan cancellation debate in 2020. We've got 1.2 or 3 million signatures now, maybe 1.4. I would love to get that sucker up to 15, 20 million signatures. There's no reason that we can't. But check out my campaign, collingeforpresident.com, C-O-L-L-I-N-G-E for president.com. I think there's stuff in my platform beyond student loans that both conservatives and liberals will appreciate. I think everybody with student loans will at least be able to live with it. And, you know, let's put some pressure on both parties because somebody has got to shake things up. And this is what my campaign is.
That's what we do every night on Busted Pencil, shaking it up. Alan,
break some pencils.
Thank you so much. Bust some pencils, Alan. Not break them, bust them.
I love it.
Let's bust some student loans. Alan Collins, thank you so much for your time tonight. When we get back, Johnny and Tim, breaking it down. I don't know how I got this way. I'll never be all right, so I'm praying. We're back. Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Educated educators talking education. Great guest, Alan Collins, studentloanjustice.org. Yeah, the SAVE program took a hit this week, just yesterday. Some people, yeah, relief, Johnny. I mean, that is what we literally, we did away with some people having some relief, having the ability to breathe, having the ability to dream about a future where, wow, I might be out of this debt. I might have some of this done. No. We're just not doing that. And got to appreciate Alan coming on to help us understand all of this. But Johnny, the way you talked about too, you gave your own personal example there. That I think is a way for people to understand what's happening here.
Well, I mean, it's pain in the neck, and like Alan said, it's constant communication of distrust, right? That like, hey, one, like you can't financially plan. Where one minute you are paying this monthly, the next minute there's talk of, hey, it's being reduced. Hey, it's being, you know, adjusted. Hey, it's eligible for cancellation. You start thinking, okay, well, wow, what could I do with that? But where could I put that money in other ways? Where can I invest in my local economy? You know, where can I, you know, exercise my civic duty and right to the market, right? And so I'm like, okay, cool. It's constantly been like a bait and switch. And like Alan said, since like 2005, you know, lots of great things to keep talking about with this because it's not going away and something's got to change to dispel the myths. Because wherever you fall on this issue, like, we want to have that conversation because it's just not as simple as, well, you took out those loans, you owe that money. Obviously.
I mean,
no one's asking for like, hey, where's my free stuff? Right. But at the end of the day, it's something that's grown to the scale of being destructive to our economy. It's grown to the scale where it's continuing to line the pockets of not those people in our community, but the people who are making decisions for us in our community, right? It's not, it's about large bank corporations. And if anyone should understand bailouts, you know, it's yeah, those, right. It's those companies. I mean, so it's like, come on, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. So we've done this for the goose. Why aren't we doing it for the gander? Speaking of what's good for the goose and what's good for is also good for the gander. Boy, man, tomorrow night's going to be interesting. I mean, I feel like I have pay-per-view tickets to a UFC fight. I haven't been this excited for a presidential debate in a long time. I need to hear these guys. I mean, I'm sure listener out there, you're thinking the same thing. Tomorrow after Busted Pencils, stay tuned to your local civic station after Busted Pencils, because there'll be coverage from Civic Media News director Terry Bell and amazing host Todd Alba. Love that guy. So stay tuned tomorrow after the show. I mean, stay tuned tonight too to get used to more civic media, but especially tomorrow, because there'll be live coverage of that debate. And you know, I'm sure listeners out there, there's going to be lots to talk about, lots to break down, and civic media's got you on that. So stay tuned this week, especially after Busted Pencils tomorrow.
What do you think the chances are that the student loan issue comes up in the debate, considering the ruling just happened yesterday?
You want to go the over under on it, Tim? Blue-collar scholar here, man. I was like, here's an opportunity. What's the over under on? You know, I don't think it's going to come up at all, because I don't think either of them want to touch it. However, though, it's low hanging fruit. Anybody grabs at it, like Alan just gave you the numbers.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna fix a student loan debt problem, throw it in there, because you win. You're gonna. That's a heavy blow. You're gonna take some points away at the end of the day.
So, okay, I'm gonna put up the balance of my student loan.
Tim.
No. But you know what? If it comes up though, this is what I think, Alan. I believe that even though Donald Trump in 2015 made a comment about being in a potential understanding of why it could be canceled and recognizing this, that tomorrow night, if it comes up, my guarantee is that Donald Trump will put that out there as in taking and going, we're not paying off student loans on the backs of people who didn't take out student loans. That myth will be put forward. It will be put forward hard, and Trump will own it, live it, and he will emphasize it. And here's the other thing I guarantee what will happen. Biden will not talk like Johnny and Tim and Alan did today and dispel the myth. Biden, if you get this and if you're listening, well, we know you're listening. If Trump serves that up to you tomorrow and you don't bust that myth, man, we know some people who are going to come looking for you. Anya's even got a smile on her face on that one.
Or just roll it into your campaign. Just say, like, hey, you know, so we'll get into it. I wish there were more than just those two going head to head. I mean, we really need more than just this two-party, you know, charade. Right. We really do. But let's get to that in future shows. Man, Tim, it's always great to bust pencils with you. We got great stuff coming up this week. You know where you can go.
You can go to Monocle Beverage. Absolutely. Our favorite place to go if we're in Madison. And if we're up in the North Woods in Monocle, we can stop by Monocle Brewing Company. Hey, you know what? MBC. They are a proud public school supporter out there. They're making beer great again, making America great again. You know, or make one beer at a time, Wisconsin. Check out MinocqueBrewingCompany.com. You can check out, buy some of their merchandise, buy some woke coffee, buy some choice wine, get your beer out there. But, you know, proudly support one of the sponsors of Busted Pencils. Johnny, yeah, tomorrow night, though, too, little teaser, Grow Your Own, another student, Grow Your Own, a bus driver who took up the call. They are becoming a teacher. We are going to tell that story tomorrow of a bus driver going full-time now using a Grow Your Own program to become a teacher. Yeah, stay tuned or stay ready for tomorrow, 855-752-4842.
Stay ready, write that. Stay steady.
Stay steady. And Johnny, man, love busting pencils with you tonight. Love busting pencils with Anya tonight. Love busting pencils with Alan tonight. hey, just love busting pencils all around, man. You know?
That's right.
All right. Check it out, though. Tomorrow night, yeah, join us. Sam, grow your own student bus driver to teacher. Tomorrow night on Busted Pencils.